It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yankees have a long way to go, but they're 1-1 away from the ALCS. So the story is not finished. But one guy who is changing his story very quickly and deserves some, hey, pal, great job, pal. Hey, you're doing great, man, buddy, is one Clay Holmes.
Yeah.
Because Clay Arthur Rodriguez Martinez Aloysius Holmes came in yesterday in a spot which I think a lot of Yankee fans fear the worst. Think about what happened. Clark Schmidt completely lost it out of nowhere in the fifth inning. Two outs, nobody on with 8 and 9 coming up. And he gives up a measly infield hit to Adam Frazier. Doesn't even feel like a big deal. Just like, oh, okay. Whatever, Clark. Just get the last out. Let's move on. And then Kyle Isbell hits one down the left field line for an RBI double. And then Michael Massey hits that triple that Juan Soto tries to dive and make a catch on. And with a 2-0 lead and two outs and nobody on in the bottom of the order, all of a sudden, you're like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah, and then also Pat Mahomes going crazy in the stands, and it's like in the box, I should say. He was not in the stands amongst the common folks, but going crazy, just acting a fool.
Yeah, he's you know.
It's like, come on, Pat.
Pat, you're not really a Royals fan. Pat, I've seen you wear a Met jersey, okay? You're not a Royals fan. I know you own part of the team now, whatever that shtick is. But after Clark lost it and gave up that triple to Michael Massey, Aaron Boone used strategery, which is exactly what he has to do with this bullpen. And we talked about that when Clay lost the closer's job. It's not that you bury Clay Holmes. It's that you utilize guys very differently.
Strategery.
You play the matchups. And Clay Holmes came in, pitched around Bobby Witt Jr., no problem with that, and then got a huge out of Vinny Pasquantino, and then pitched a 1-2-3 sixth inning.
Mm-hmm.
Those were some of the most important outs a guy can get. And when you put that together with what he did in game one, I mean, can we give some credit to Clay?
Yeah. Of course you'll give credit to Clay Holmes when he comes in and he fulfills the job. The job is just not the closer anymore. And so I think the reason that – I don't think Yankee fans hate Clay Holmes. I think they hated him in the closer role because he's not a swing-and-miss pitcher, because he always is trying to put the ball low in the zone, but then all of a sudden he's just giving up big hits that are costing – leads, blowing saves, and then you're scrambling to just try to salvage wins.
Mm.
And so it's not that they hated him. They just hated him in the closer role. And so now that he's not in that closer role and he's in the role that he's in now, kind of like the David Peterson role for the Mets, it suits him.
Well, I think the role he's in is, hey, this is the spot to use Clay Holmes based on who's coming up in the order and what the situation is.
Right.
And here's the other thing about Clay Holmes that's kind of happened very quietly, like very sneakily, and maybe it finally hit you last night. Clay Holmes has pitched 12 postseason innings and hasn't allowed a run.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's done something even Mariano Rivera hasn't done. He's got a zero ERA. I'm just kidding. Obviously, he's not Mariano, but Clay does deserve a lot of credit. He's appeared in every one of these games. Obviously, the Yankees with these off days have had the ability to really maximize their top bullpen arms, and they've all done a great job. I mean, their bullpen's been the story of this series. But Clay Holmes does deserve a lot of credit for what he did yesterday.
Yeah, it takes a lot to be able to take yourself or know that you've been removed from an all-star closer position and do that. But of course he deserves credit for that. But at the same time, the whole bullpen deserves credit, like you mentioned, because no matter what buttons he's pushing, and I thought Boone pushed the wrong button by going to Weaver as early as he did last night, all of these seem to be working, and all of these guys are filling their roles perfectly.
So Aaron Boone was right, and I'm not just saying that because it worked out. Aaron Boone is using a little thing that we call strategery. And a part of that strategery is putting your relievers in the best possible situation to succeed.
Strategery.
That's right. Right. So let's use Tommy Kahnle for an example. Tommy Kahnle is very, very tough on left-hand hitters. Just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Righties are more productive against him. That's just what the numbers have said throughout his entire career and has shown this year. So what Aaron Boone did so brilliantly, despite Sean not seeing it and Sean not appreciating it, is that after Tommy Kahnle struck out Michael Massey to start the eighth inning, a matchup that was very favorable for him, Aaron Boone then looked at the batting order and saw Bobby Witt Jr. coming up. And then he saw Salvador Perez two batters later, and he saw Julie Gurriel, and he said, you know what I should do? I should probably go to Luke Weaver.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the greatest matchup for Tommy Kahnle. And he played the matchups. He used strategery. And it worked. And it was the right strategy. Even it backfired, and almost did, because Weaver did give up a couple of base hits. And then he actually gave up a hit to Vinny Pasquantino, but it wasn't a hit. I'm sorry, I'm mocking Bob Costas.
Yeah, ask Bob Costas. He was too busy.
Liner to center.
His eyes were up George Brett's rear end, and he missed that ball. He was trying to catch the ball.
It's kind of just a soft nubber. It didn't even get out of the infield.
I love Bob, but that was a rough one.
You think
one.
He's losing his eyesight?
He may be. He's getting up there in age. He's getting older.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly possible when you get a little bit older. Mm. You know, it happens. Do you have that call? It's Pat Boyle's fault if you don't, so don't worry about it, Tommy.
I have the call.
There you go. That's my boy Boyle.
I heard Gene Q, big fella, just throw it to it when you need it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bob Costas effing up on national TV.
Line drive, base hit to center field. It was smothered out there. I don't know if it was caught.
It was caught.
Oh, my gosh. What a play.
Ron Darling is so disgusted.
All right. It was caught. You hear the flat inflection?
I have.
It was caught, not... It was caught.
Right.
It was caught.
Ron should learn from Susan. Like, Susan, when poor John makes a mistake, is so sweet. Like, she's like, it's okay, John. The monitor, the wind, the air. Something happened. Ron's like, what's wrong with you?
Right. Oh, my gosh.
That ball's exit velocity was about 40.
I do have a confession about that play.
What's that?
So, I got home from the Met game. I did a really good job of not knowing what was going on in the Yankee game, which was my goal. So I went home and I watched the game in its entirety on DVR. I even scored the game. Here
I'm a loser.
Here it is right here, Tiki.
Yes,
how's that look?
I see it.
Okay. So I'm sitting down. Got home at about 10:15, so it wasn't crazy. Start scoring the game. I really have no idea. I think the only thing I knew is that the Yankees were up 1-0. I saw that, and I was like, what can you do? But that was early in the game. When Vinny Pasquantino hit the line drive to center and Bob said base hit, I looked down and put it in my book.
Oh, my gosh.
I did.
Oh, so you screwed up.
Bob screwed me.
Your book. Because you do it in pen, for those that don't know.
That's right.
He does it in pen every time because he's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks he's perfect.
Yeah.
He does it in pen every time because he's perfect. So Bob Costas screwed you up.
He didn't fully screw me up, and I'll tell
you
why.
Not watching?
I looked down. He said base hit. I assumed he knows what he's talking about. I quickly looked down. I didn't screw up fully. So what I did is I put the squiggly line for base hit. And then when he corrected himself, I stopped my hand, and I was able to change it into SL6, which is a soft line drive to the 6, which is the shortstop Anthony Volpe. But, Bob, I love you, bro. Can you let the play happen?
You're screwing up people's scorebooks.
Yeah, Ronnie's pissed off not only because of that. He's missing the whole Mets euphoria. And he's got to cover games where the guy doesn't know what's going on.
That's a good point.
And we're doing George Brett, you know, interviews every inning.
That not only that, and I'm glad you brought up the George Brett stuff. I know that's pissed off Sean Morash. You know who took a real shot at Bob Costas?
Who?
WFAN's very own Susan Waldman.
A friend of mine said to me today about George Brett. We're seeing him on the screen. George Brett is getting more TV time than Taylor Swift did when she started going to Chiefs games. Every time I look up, George Brett is on television.
Now, do we think Susan pulled the old, a friend of mine and the friend of hers is her? This is her opinion?
Yes.
Or this is actually a friend of
mine? I think it's Sean. I think it's more.
Sean texted her?
Sean texted her. Hey, Susan, can you take care of this for me? Nobody's listening to me, like, complain about this, and I'm not getting any traction on it. Can you just, like, co-sign this just a little bit? Not a big one, just a little co-sign. Don't be vicious about it. Do it nicely in your sweet way, but can you co-sign this for me so I can get some play on it? Thank you. Appreciate you, Susan. Love you.
Is that true, Sean?
It's not true. It is not true. But also, Susan loves looking up at that monitor, and probably every time she looks up, there's George Brett on TV thinking the same freaking thing we all are.
This is what makes Susan brilliant. Susan's pissed about this. I mean, clearly, but Susan also has a great appreciation for history.
Mm-hmm.
And so has no issue with George Brett the way I don't. Like, I love hearing about Yankees Royals history, but I also know there's a time and place. And so they're like, there's this balancing act.
Yeah.
And I think Susan said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to destroy them with kindness. I'm going to say it was a friend. It's not. It's me. I'm not going to say it like, you don't hear a tone in her voice like she's mad. So it's more like, I'm just going to mock them. And the mocking will send the message. I think that was utterly brilliantly done by Susan.
It's so good, and I can't leave this Costas segment without saying this is why you shouldn't have listened on the Volpe play and squiggled. There was another play earlier in the game.
Which one?
Juan Soto casually jogs in from right field to catch a ball, and basically Bob calls the play. Juan Soto's digging. He's digging. He's digging. And he finally comes down with the catch. He sold it. As if Juan Soto went to an Usain Bolt sprint and made a Jim Edmonds-like catch, and it was a can of freaking corn. The best part about the Yankees ending this tonight, and they will end it tonight, is Bob Costas getting the hell out of our televisions for a long, long time, unless I happen to watch basketball, which even he hates.
I think basketball is a very underratedly awesome movie. I've always thought that. It's a brilliant concept.
Never seen it.
What?
Yeah.
That's an assignment. I think you should see that movie.
Okay.
Because I think they could go one of two ways. I think there's a really good chance you say, Evan, you wasted an hour, 45 minutes of my time. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, no. It'll be a waste of like 30 minutes of my time.
Oh, you're not even going to hang in there?
Because I'll know if it's terrible.
It's Stone and Parker. Those guys are brilliant. Let's get back to your calls. 888-808-1019. Eamon is calling from Jersey City. What's going on, Eamon?
I think it's Eamon.
Eamon, my apologies.
Yeah, Damon. What's up, guys? First time calling, long time listener. Always wanted to say that.
I only know that because one of my best friends' name is Eamon. Christian Eamon Vaughn.
There you go.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, clearly he's Irish.
First off, I just want to say, what's up, guys? Kiki, you're the man.
Thank you, bro.
I remember I was like 3 or 4 years old. I have a picture sitting on your lap with a little T. Barber jersey.
What are you telling me? Are you telling me I'm like ancient right now?
Basically, yes.
No, I didn't want to tell you, you know.
That's all good, dude.
But I just had that great memory. It was awesome.
I appreciate you.
But I just wanted to say, you know, Giancarlo is an absolute animal in October. And for all the fans out there giving him stuff for the regular season, I don't care if he bats 100 in the regular season. Honestly, what he's doing in October, you can just be a Yankee forever. This is where we
Well, it's funny, Eamon, because that's kind of what we were alluding to when we were talking about his injury. I forget when it was. May? June?
I think it was early summer when he went down.
But it was self-identified.
Like, right.
I think I did something. Pull me out of this game. And you know what? I'm going to go down. Don't worry, Aaron Boone. And we know this because Aaron told us when we were over at the Mets Subway Series.
Yes, yes.
We had Aaron Boone. And he told us exactly when he was coming back because Giancarlo Stanton knew exactly what he needed to do to get himself back. And the thought process was exactly what Eamon just said. We're good for the regular season. We're going to be fine. Be ready when we really need you.
Yeah, but I'm not blaming Eamon here. How do you say his name again?
Eamon.
Eamon. Eamon. I'm not blaming Eamon because, as he described, he's a first-time caller. So I don't know what his opinions have been over the last few years. But when you work here long enough, you know the rinse-repeat routine. You do. So, for example, if the Yankees lose to the Kansas City Royals or to anybody in the ALCS,
positivity,
it will turn into
positivity. Evan.
Well, it's not being positive or negative. I'm just describing what happens because I've seen it before. It's blame Brian Cashman, blame Aaron Boone. Mm-hmm. But here's the other thing that happens. When October rolls around and Giancarlo Stanton does stuff like he does every October, we'll get calls like that. It doesn't matter what he does in the regular season. He's so great in October. True statement. I can't disagree with it. And then we get to April and May and June and July and August and even the offseason, and most people, not everybody, forget. They forget. They go into the same routine of he can't run, he's not healthy, they should trade him anywhere, they should buy off half his contract. They go through the same routine and forget that year after year after year, he produces in October. And so I appreciate our last caller, and he may not be one of those guys, but you know who you are. You'll say all the right things today because it's easy. But what are you going to say in April when he's 0 for 5 with 4 strikeouts and you're booing him because you bought overpriced beer?
What?
Am I wrong?
I'm not wrong.
I don't know the overpriced beer.
Well, that's why. That's half the reason why people right. boo. They boo because they're mad a guy didn't perform, and then they're also mad that they got ripped off because they spent too much money
and
on
Tiki
beer.
Tiki drinks wine at baseball games. Right. That's why he didn't get the reference.
He doesn't know what that means.
I did have wine when we were there.
I know you
or did. Or martini at the Cadillac Club.
But that's what people do.
Hendrix martini.
Just remember.
Thank you very much, Cadillac Club.
Channel this moment, Yankee fans.
Let me know when I can come back and have a few more.
Look at you. He's still thinking about it. Channel the remembrance that Giancarlo Stanton is your most reliable October hitter, because that's just a fact. That's not hyperbole. That's the reality. Now, maybe Juan Soto can become that guy. He did get on base 3 times in the game yesterday and did drive in a run with a sacrifice fly. So I don't want to vilify his performance, but in his time here, Giancarlo's been the most reliable Yankee in October.
Well, yesterday, though, let's just be fair, is a little different than the rest of his October moments. Some of his October moments have happened big-time trailing in games, the one-game playoff versus Boston when they were out of it. Last night, there's no taking away. He delivered when the backs were against the wall. And if he doesn't deliver, this could be the ultimate disappointing Yankee season where they're ousted in the DS.
Okay, first of all, you want to bring up 2021 and a meaningless home run. I was in the ballpark that day at Fenway Park. Was it meaningless when he hit the ball off the freaking Green Monster in the first inning, or does that not count?
No, it counts.
Oh, okay, so don't tell me it's meaningless home run.
I'm not saying all of his hits have been meaningless, but his October numbers have been deceiving depending on situation in some of these games.
Dude, that's sometimes you got to look at the whole sample, kind of like Aaron Judge. The guy's hit 12 postseason home runs in 30 games. Is that good?
Yes.
Okay.
I understand, okay, but that's this, this is the problem sometimes when we simply read numbers, context matters. We can no longer, my point is, last night it changes everything. That is not what has happened in Stanton's past. Last night was a revolutionary moment that could catapult this team to a World Series.
Let's go to Chris, who's in Cortland Manor, New York. How you doing, Chris?
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
Good.
Good, what's up?
Sean is such a hater on Giancarlo Stanton. I really can't believe it. The guy has the second best home run rate of all time in the playoffs, and he wants to bench him? Makes no sense to me. Makes no sense.
Makes no sense.
And then the Yankees have the best road record in the entire MLB this year. That's why I'm super confident they're going to win tonight, and they're going to carry it all the way to the World Series, because if they win one or two games at home during these series and they win on the road, that's it. 4 games, baby. World Series.
I don't know why, Chris, and thanks for the call, why this is the case, but he's right about something that, you know, we haven't talked that much about, because maybe it's an anomaly, maybe it doesn't mean anything. The Yankees had the best road record in baseball this year. They were better on the road than they were at home. They won 50 games on the road. Why? Like, is there anything to that? Is there, because Derek Jeter brought this up, and I was meaning to play this clip yesterday, but Derek Jeter made a comment. You may still have the audio, Lugie. It was from yesterday, and I apologize. We just never got to it. But Jeet said, hey, I think it could benefit the Yankees to go on the road. And he wasn't. In fact, you know what? I'm not going to speak for the captain. Ladies and gentlemen, this was Derek Jeter after the Yankees lost Game 2 to the Kansas
City. Make no mistake about it. Yankees are supposed to win this series. Everyone is expecting, especially everyone in that organization, is expecting the Yankees to win the series. They may need a change of scenery. Right? I mean, we all know about the distractions you have playing in New York, the expectations, the questions, the criticism. They may need to regroup on the road and come back and get a chance to score first, score early, give them some breathing room when your starter goes out there and takes the mound. But yeah, it's they need, this is a big one for them. Oh, it's a big one.
So he used kind of a different reasoning, but they have been a better road team than home team this season for whatever reason.
I mean, it kind of makes sense. When you have, you know, the top of your lineup, in theory, because it hasn't necessarily been that way in the postseason, in theory, the dangerous part of your team, and you know whatever it is you feel about Glaber, but Glaber and then Soto and then Judge, and then whether it's Wells or whoever, and Giancarlo Stanton, if you can get crooked early numbers early, especially in the first inning, it gives you an edge.
Yeah.
And so instead of waiting, oh, what's our starting pitcher going to do? Unless it's Gerrit Cole, like what's it going to look like once we get our chance to at bat? I can get that, but I think he's also alluding to just like being around one another without having to go home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like not, oh, my kids, my wife, my whatever. I have to do X, Y, and Z and listening to us on the radio or whatever appearance I have to do. It's different when you're on the road because you're insulated from life. You're just there with each other.
Let's go to Bob in Lindenhurst. What's up, Bob?
Hey, what's up, guys? Pumped up Met fan here.
What's up, dude?
Before I get to my point, I just want to say last night, what a moment for me. I was sitting in my living room watching, getting ready for the Mets, and then all of a sudden my 23-year-old son came down, and he starts watching it with me. I thought it was very cool. And then we're watching, but every moment he was on a Zoom call with his boys, man. He was like, pumped up. I just looked at him. I realized, I go, dude, why aren't you with your boys? He looked at me, and he goes, Dad, to Mets, and I'm with my boy right now.
Oh,
I thought that's gonna stay with me forever.
That's
man.
Awesome. That's I very really, nice.
It is awesome, man. And I really think the Mets are on a mission to right the wrongs of teams that wronged them. They already got the checklist. Atlanta, gone. Philly, gone. Milwaukee was just a bystander who got shot down. Now I think we got L.A., I think the Dodgers have wronged us years ago, and then we got the Yankees, and we're going to take care of them, and then we'll be the Kings again.
By the way, for the writing of the wrongs script that we have written, and Lugie has certainly written, I totally understand the Atlanta Braves. Obviously, that is deeply personal to all of us. You're mm-hmm. right about the Brewers, innocent bystander. Philadelphia, it's a city rivalry. I think you can make the argument either the Dodgers or the Padres. I think for a lot of Met fans, 88 is still a flesh wound despite the division series of 6 in 2015, the Padres from 2022. And I totally get the Yankees. 2000 is something that still damages all of us. But I have to remind everybody one little tiny itsy-bitsy thing if you want to write a script. Now, I don't think we're going to get the opportunity to do this, but I do want to be fair. Salvador Perez still exists. In fact, he's playing the Yankees right now. Hit a home run the other day. Salvador Perez was the World Series MVP in 2015. Let us not forget that other than our own personal battles and demons and people in our lives, the only living, breathing guy, like human, that needs to feel our pain is Salvador Perez. Because Aaron Judge and Juan Soto and Gleyber Torres and even Aaron Boone have nothing to do with anything that we have personal issues with. They just happen to be wearing a jersey of a team whose fans we have a personal issue with. So if you want to write the script, which I'm good with, I don't really care how the script ends as long as they win the World Series, Salvador Perez is breathing. And as long as he's breathing, he's my enemy. And he should be all of our enemies.
And Eric Hosmer should come out of retirement. That dope, that goon, who I can't stand. And he should play in the World Series.
Lorenzo Cain.
Get them all out there.
Wade Davis.
Kendrys Morales. I mean, all these
bring
guys.
Bring them all back.
Amen.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Evan and Tiki on it in crazy Thursday in New York City. You almost forget that the New York Giants are playing great football. You almost forget that the New York Jets shockingly fired their coach 48 hours ago and are now making big changes on offense, something we will address and get to coming up in the 4 o'clock hour because it's baseball craziness here in the middle of October. The New York Mets are going to the NLCS for the first time since 2015, and after last night's dramatic late-night Yankee victory in Kansas City, they find themselves one win away from the ALCS. We may experience something we have only experienced two other times in the history of Mets and Yankees coexistence. Both teams in League Championship Series. Both teams in the Final Four. We had that in 1999. The Yankees made quick work of the Red Sox. The Mets lost a brutal six-game series to Atlanta. And obviously in 2000, we know what happened. Both teams succeeded, and we got ourselves a Subway World Series. And here we are, for the first time, I think, ever, since that point, legitimately thinking, oh my God, there may be a Subway World Series. Like, I think any other time we've had that conversation, it's been like this fictitious, oh, that's not happening. But the Mets are in the Final Four. The Yankees are on the verge of the Final Four. Like, a Subway World Series could happen. It's possible. Now, last night, after the Mets clinched and the wild celebration ensued, I went home, watched the Yankee game, and I wanted to check out the post-game coverage of the Mets celebration. And so I saw a lot of great interviews, saw a lot of Mets celebrating. But I saw our owner, Steve Cohen. And Steve Cohen, in the midst of celebrating, said something very interesting and powerful that I think everybody should listen to.
Let's hear it.
So, ladies and gentlemen, the owner of the New York Mets, Steve Cohen.
For years, I wanted this place packed. I want to slay the negative, you know, Met fan perceptions. And we're on our way to doing that. So, let's keep it going.
He wants to slay the negative Met fans' perceptions.
He's talking about you, you know.
What?
Yes, you.
Me?
You, who I had to talk out of a Monday ago, being negative about the Mets and a doubleheader on after the regular season. Be positive. Remember my be positive speech?
Yeah, yeah.
2 days ago, same thing. Be positive. Don't be negative. You Met fans are, like, scarred by history.
Well,
stop talking about history. He's probably scarred by history as well, and he's trying to alleviate the angst of Met fans. I give him credit for that.
I do. I give him credit for saying that. I think that is the ultimate goal. You know, besides winning and winning a lot and being a championship contender and being a championship team, I think the dream that you have as a fan is trusting your team. Mm. You know, actually believing in them and not being scarred and not always having the feeling of negativity. And what I would say to Steve Cohen, the fine owner of the New York Mets, who I'm no longer mad at for raising ticket prices on me. I'm done. Remember, I said that 2 months ago. I said, Tiki, they raised my ticket prices. And you're like, are you mad? I said, not yet. I'll let you know.
And now you're not. Now you can't be.
Take my money, Steve. Take it. I give it to you. Take what you want from me. But the only way to do what he said is to win. And is to win. And is to win, and is to win. The only way to build trust, it's like when you meet a girl or you meet a guy. How do you build trust? By experience. By having that person prove to you that right. You can trust them. I don't know about you. I don't just meet somebody and automatically give them all my trust. I like to give that semblance of trust. Like, I have no reason not to trust you, so I'll trust you a little bit. But to have that blood trust needs to be earned.
The New York Mets are in the process of earning our trust. And I appreciate Steve for saying that. I think that's a great goal to have. And what I would say back to him is keep winning.
It's not on him right now.
I don't just mean this year, and I don't mean just this run.
I know what you're saying.
But in general, and I'll trust you.
He's done all he could do
I'm not
for this season.
Yeah.
There's nothing else that he as the owner can do.
I'm talking about in general, though. He wants to slay that belief. Well, that's how you do it.
Or you just win a championship.
That would not go.
And that right now is on those 26 guys that are on the playoff roster right now.
Do you think if the Mets win a championship, I would forever be trusting? Like, I'll come in here opening day next year like, hey,
no chance.
He'll be complaining about the Brooklyn Nets raising his season ticket prices. I think you'll always kind of look at that negative side of things. It makes you feel better.
I don't think that's fair to say, though, because I've never won anything. So how do you know that after winning, I'm going to just complain about something else? Have I proven to be that person?
Yes. So
why? I'm not complaining today. I'm pretty happy today.
You are, but you brought up Johan Santana's no-hitter in the first 6 minutes of the show.
Why was that the first thing you were thinking
as a
about?
Personal vendetta or a negative? I don't know what that was all
See,
about.
See, you think that's negative. I think that's positive. Mm-hmm. I love that moment in Mets history. It's a great all-time moment, and it bothers me that negative people like yourself like to tear it down by saying it wasn't a real no-hitter. So it's funny how people can twist what they want to their
Tommy
story.
He's talking to you, Tiki.
Tiki's never really offered an opinion about Johan Santana. Right. So I'm not talking to him. I'm talking to you.
It was so long ago, and I was probably not giving a crap.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you for that. You've never said to me it wasn't a no-hitter. So me bringing that up was not negative. Me bringing that up was positive. It was, see, that moment's awesome. We had a call go our way last night. I'm not complaining about it. And that's a reminder that no one should ever feel bad about things that you accomplish just based on an umpiring call. So for a guy like you, Tommy, and for others, I just think you owe other Met fans an apology. You were the negative ones, not me. I love a moment. I put it in my book. Like, yeah, it's one of my great moments as a Met fan. What's negative about that? I got him, Tiki.
Yeah, he did. No, he's stuck right now.
No, he's right. Negative Tommy called it a one-hitter. Positive Tommy would just call it a no-hitter.
Thank you.
And the reason...
So I win!
You win, Evan. Congrats. You get nothing as a prize.
Know what I get out of a prize?
What do you get?
I get the satisfaction that the Mets won a playoff game last night. They had a bad call go their way, and that's okay. And we never have to feel bad about it. We never have to feel bad about a bad call going your way to help you win a game or pitch a no-hitter, because that's baseball, Susan. And I hope that lesson was learned by you, and I hope that lesson was learned by everybody. Yankee fans learned that lesson a long time ago with Jeffrey Mayer.
Yeah. So the reason I brought it up originally, I was up there with you watching the game, Positive Tommy. We needed Positive Steve Cohen up there in the ninth inning because I was watching you, and I was watching your soul leave your body. Have you ever seen Who Framed Roger Rabbit when they laugh? If you keep laughing so hard, your soul's going to leave your body. That was happening to Evan. I was watching his soul. It was like an exorcism. And what happened? We chanted Edwin Diaz's name. And just like, right, look at him right now.
I'm smiling.
The smile on his face. Now, he had, before he celebrated, of course, he had to write down, you know, backwards K or whatever the
Not
heck
true.
You do.
Not true.
K or something.
Not true.
Oh, you celebrated first?
What happened was... And we had a digital guy standing right there, which was very obnoxious. Like, I'm glad he did it, I guess. It's great to capture the moment. But in the moment, like, a camera being around is like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I even gave it a dirty look. I think it's in
because
one of the videos.
What happened was Anthony Gallo, who is part of our digital team, and Alvin Cintron, who hosts here, they were discussing how they were going to celebrate and capture the content. This was before the ninth inning.
And what did I say?
Evan almost had them escorted out of the building like they were Robert Sala. Wow. I mean, he was like,
you were
shut up!
It? Because you thought they were jinxing it?
I did, and it was like, look,
because you were Lindoring it? We're not done yet?
Yes, I was Lindoring it, exactly. So when they got the final out, when Diaz struck out Kyle Schwarber, I didn't put anything in my scorecard because I didn't need to. I was going to remember it. I would do it later. It was one of those moments, and I'm not sure how others reacted to it, where I didn't jump up and down. It was just like, I need to soak this in. Mm. I need to close my eyes like I'm the Rock. I need to put my nose up into the air. I need to smell it. I need everything. And then also, like, I was just getting my breath back because Edwin Diaz almost killed me last night. Like, he almost physically killed my heart last night with the way that inning started. So there was a sigh of relief, and then there was a, this is so awesome. Like, this is such an amazing moment. Because, like I said to you on the air yesterday, we had not had a celebration in our own building to clinch a playoff series since 2000. Since game 5 against the Cardinals. Dude, I was a virgin back then. Like, that's how long ago it was.
TMI, bro.
I'm just saying. I was in high school. I mean, what am I going to tell you? Nobody was looking at me back then. So it was just like, this is unbelievable. You have to cherish this. And, you know, now looking back on it, I'm glad they have video of it because it's good to have that memory for
us. Of course. And we had Philly fans around us. It was amazing content, like Tiki brought out. You can check out on Instagram, Twitter, the whole thing. Also, guys, this is for Sean. This is for Tiki. We could talk about it later. Talk about it now. Evan did something yesterday. He violated the rules of DVRing a baseball game.
Why? How?
Because as we were rushing to Citi Field, and I don't have children, but I would assume it's the equivalent of when your wife's giving birth and you're rushing to the hospital. That's how it was with Evan. He was such a nervous wreck that every time I touched my cell phone, he would yell at me, "You can't touch the cell phone!" Because we didn't have service at Penn Station, and he didn't want me to know the score because maybe I'd give it away, so I wasn't allowed to check my phone. He, when we had no service, started the game backwards, all right? So it had already happened.
To catch up on anything we missed. I didn't want to miss a pitch, yeah.
You had the volume on.
Yeah, I did.
So if somebody on the train was DVRing it, they were hearing what was happening. You should have put it on mute. And I told you several times you were violating the rules. What would Evan Roberts have said
That's
to you
That's
if today
heard
the game?
Well, I will counter that.
That's
as
a good point.
As someone that has been on many trains before while DVRing games, like I swear to God, when I used to work at Sirius back in the day, I would have to take the 7 train to go home. And it would be at 10 o'clock at night. So imagine that. I am taking the same train as Met fans, and yet I DVR'd the game. And I had a system. Like, I can't tell people around me to not act about, like, react to what's happened around them. So I would have headphones. I would always put it on. If I saw someone with Met jerseys, I would look the other way. And if you want a DVR the way I have for years, you have to respond to it. It's not my responsibility. I can't assume you're DVRing it. So honestly, I did nothing wrong.
You did nothing wrong? We didn't even hint on the biggest part. I want to make sure I'm interpreting this right.
Mm-hmm.
You went and played back, and Loogie's thing was you're ruining it for other people on DVR.
Correct.
Because you have the sound on, Sean.
That's the problem. You don't have the sound on public transportation without headphones. You could be watching a Bridgerton. That is the wrong thing to do. That is what you violated. You should never be able to ride a train again if you listen to anything on full volume without headphones.
That's
point. Commuting 101,
That's
bro.
Because next thing people are going to be watching porn and stuff and having the volume
that.
On and kids
you
are going to be offended. People are going to have to cover their kids' ears.
And somebody's blasting their own music? You don't want to hear that.
That's, you know what? I'll give that to you. Maybe I did break that rule. I don't think I broke a DVR rule because I think the DVR is on yourself to have to make sure it isn't spoiled for you.
I can agree with that.
It's not the
like
responsibility.
If you're DVRing, you can't expect everybody to know that you're DVRing.
Correct.
Like, and so it's on you to ignore everybody else.
Absolutely. Like, the reason I was telling Loogie not to check the score is because we're in this together. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm asking you as a favor, if the guy next to me happened to be watching the Met game and was a fan of the show and screamed, "Can you believe they didn't score?" I wouldn't be mad at him. I would politely say, "Hey, appreciate it. I'm DVRing. Don't tell me anything other than that." But we're together, Tommy. So it's okay for me to tell you, "Hey, do me a favor. Don't check your phone. I've got the game on the phone and we'll watch it together." And luckily, we didn't miss anything.
But you were publicly chastising me. I wasn't going to check the score. I was just going on my phone and I forgot to text my wife that I was going to the game. So at 9:30, I get a text from my wife. "Where are you?"
Well, that's on you. That's not
that's
my fault.
That's not on me. You wouldn't allow me to touch my
phone.
Dude,
once we were at the stadium, which was the fourth inning, you could have done whatever you wanted.
I know, but then I was immersed. I was at Citi Field.
That's your fault.
Oh, now it's my fault. Personal, I think it's your fault.
Personal responsibility. What happened to this country, Teague?
I don't know. We've relying on other people to do our work for us. I
Seriously.
Think that's what it comes down
that
to.
Really? Like, I got to do DVR work for others?
Right.
I mean, come on now.
To be fair, I got to defend Evan. It's the first time in Loogie's marriage that his wife has ever wondered where he is.
100%. I never get a snarky. She goes, "You could have given me a heads up." I go, "Who is this? This isn't my wife. I can leave for 4 days. She normally doesn't care."
Let's go to Frank. Excuse me. Frank in South Ozone Park. What's up, Frank?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Great night last night. Evan, good job on the Rico. I listen all the time, so enjoyed it. You know, I have to say, I've been in a lot of big games. Oh, by the way, Sean, thanks for saying we wouldn't win another game this week. We appreciate that. Tiki, I've been at a lot of big games. I was at been in Ranger playoffs, Knicks playoffs, and I also was at the NFC Championship game and in 2000 against the Vikings.
Greatest game
and
in
the
Giants
first
Stadium.
5 minutes. The first 5 minutes of that game, when Collins hit Hilliard and then he hit Kamella and the fumble and then when he hit Kamella, was the loudest, I think, and the most raucous event.
Right.
I think I was there. That was mayhem. You remember.
I do, absolutely.
Last night, when he hit that grand slam, as far as mayhem goes, I don't know if I've been around more mayhem then went on at that moment last night. So up until that point, and it was the atmosphere last night, they were standing on two strike counts.
Yep.
They were so into it last night, and that was hitting that grand slam, just being there. I'm so glad I bought the ticket. I bought one ticket. I'm so glad I did, because if I did, I mean, I would have been regretting it forever.
No
so
doubt.
I'm glad I did it.
No doubt. That's why I love Tiki Barber, because I would have regretted not being at that game, too. Mm, I was at peace not being at game three. Yes. It was very difficult, but I think it being a potential clincher, all the possibilities, I'm like our last caller. Yeah. I appreciate that I was in the building to experience.
Right. If you missed it, go back, rewind on the Odyssey app. I demanded a thank you from Evan and Loogie for kicking them out of the studio yesterday.
Yes. Just don't go back to the Evan and Tiki podcast to 525, because Tiki was very mean. I mean, he physically threatened me. He basically said, I will punch you in the face if you stay in this studio. And I was scared for my life. I'm not going to lie.
No, I wasn't seriously going to punch him. But I was getting agitated.
See, I don't know. As far as loudness at a Met game is concerned. So I mentioned this earlier. 2015, the place was crazy. It's not a knock on the crowd of 2015. It's that there was no moment in 2015. Mm. David Wright hitting a World Series home run is up there. It's close. Yoenis home run division series that still hasn't landed. Very close. So there were big moments, but not like that.
Yeah.
That I think could electrify a stadium. So I will tell you, the last time I think it was this loud was A, when they clinched the pennant in 2000, and then take one of the walk-off home runs, whether it was Benny Agbayani against the Giants in 2000 or Robin Ventura's grand slam single in the rain against the Braves in 99. I mean, those are epic, epic moments in which you win, and in two cases you advance, or in one case you advance. So I think that a part of why that was so loud and so special was that we haven't had anything close to that.
Yeah, I think it takes the stakes being that high. It takes the frustrations of that game all culminating in one moment where Estevez is trying to blow Francisco Lindor out of the box, and he just waits on him and just waits for his pitch and then destroys it. I think every Met fan knew that they won the game at that point. Now, Diaz made it interesting, but at that, because the pitching was fine. It wasn't great, but it was fine.
For me, you were like 70% right. I definitely had confidence. Mm. I'm not going to say I didn't when Lindor hit the home run. I didn't think the game was over.
Well, I also didn't see the Phillies, despite the names, because they weren't star worthy, but the names that they have, I didn't see them rallying back. It didn't feel like that was going to happen. Because when do we see that? Right, and even though
they did it in game two, they were down 3-0. Rallied back. I got to give them that.
Maybe, but still, it felt more like a Met thing to do to rally back,
right.
Not a Philly thing to do. So once they did it, the Phillies would have had to have been epic to do it back to them.
Yeah,
and I didn't see the epicness in those guys.
I think you also provide an independent baseball observation, which I'm able to do with the Yankees, but with the Mets, it's very difficult. It's why I've always said this. You know, I'm a super Met fan. I think I can talk more fairly about the Yankees than I am the Mets.
Yeah.
Because I think my emotion gets involved. I can watch a Yankee baseball game and say, hey, I wouldn't have done this, or I would have done this. And it's like a rational, sane opinion. Like, I think I can be sane that way. So what I'm saying is my Yankee talk is a lot better than my Met talk, which means I should start a Yankee podcast.
Because you're rational about
it. I'm rational. Let's go, Yankees. When was that from?
That had to be one of those where the Yankees would help us out. Maybe they're playing the Braves in September some point.
Yes, I'm big on that. I'm very big on please help me out. Thank you. Ralph and Yonkers. What's up, Ralph?
What's up, Ralph?
Let's call All State right now.
Hello, Ralph.
What's up?
All right, I think Ralph may be distracted, so we'll talk to you later.
Sounded like an insurance issue. Got to call All State.
Mary is calling from Brooklyn. How are you, Mary?
Oh, hi, it's Marie.
Marie, my apologies.
Hi.
Evan's eyes are still blurry. He has not used the reading right now.
That is true.
I understand. Same. So I just thought I'd call in and offer a little female perspective, since it's what I do. I have three boys and a husband.
Nice.
And I coach my son's rec league team. So I'm always offering the female side of things. And I just want to talk about Lindor specifically with the Grand Slam and just the team in general. Mm-hmm. I thought it was so interesting. Like, it was amazing. And obviously, like, I was screaming with the rest of them. But I thought it was so interesting that the focus was so much on him not over-celebrating and not emoting, and it never even crossed my mind. And I just feel like it's so indicative of this team, and it's like a metaphor, not just him, but for the team, that that's how they've been. Maybe as a team always, but specifically in this series, just like keeping their heads down, one out at a time, one inning at a time, the fundamentals, getting everything right, not over-celebrating. And, you know, coaching a youth team. It's so much about the over-celebration. And honestly, no offense to anyone, but it's why I stopped watching football, because I just feel like, and one of you said it earlier, like, let the fans celebrate. Right, it's such a gift. And when you over-celebrate and, like, position yourself as such a hero, it almost, like, takes away from it. Like, let us call you a hero. Let us celebrate you.
But you know,
and I just think it's so...
But you know what's interesting? And I went back to look at this, because it's a great observation that you have, but I was curious about Francisco himself. And that is, I want to go back, because I never noticed it at the time. Has he celebrated home runs before? He said a lot for the Mets. So I went back and looked, and I tell you where specifically I went. I went back to his first year with the New York Mets, 2021. Do you guys remember what he did in 2021? Because it wasn't the greatest season in the world, but he hit 3 home runs against the New York Yankees. Francisco Lindor pimped it. Francisco Lindor pointed to his muscles. Francisco Lindor pointed to the crowd. Francisco Lindor was dancing. He was really fired up. So the question is, why then and not now? And I'll give you my observation on why. I think right now he is such the leader of this team and such the tone setter of this team that when he hit those 3 home runs against the Yankees, it was, it's crazy. Who can, I don't know what the hell's going on. I stuck it to the Yankees. And I think now it's, this is business.
Well, he's less selfish. It's not about him. It's about his responsibility as a leader for the team.
Yeah.
As you said.
Yeah.
It's, I have to lead them. And right now is not a time to get over celebratory. Right now, as the leader of this team, I got to show this team how to finish a game.
Yeah.
And so he's right.
And that's the difference.
It's funny because at the end of the game, when it was all said and done, it wasn't, he wasn't jumping up and down. Everybody else is celebrating, jumping up and down. Lindor goes right to his knees like, it's done. Right, and then the celebration happened.
Now, listen to him after the game. So he did a press conference. It was adorable because his daughter was there, and she kept picking at the microphone. So it was very funny. But then Francisco Lindor said something. It reminds me of Jake the Snake Roberts. Jake the Snake Roberts would cut a promo, and he would whisper it. Like, he would talk very, very calmly, but he didn't have to scream. Because sometimes if your words are powerful enough, you don't have to scream and yell. I'm not good at that, obviously. But Jake Roberts was great. Listen to Francisco Lindor calmly tell us, the peons, us Met fans, why he's here.
I want to win it all. I want to win it all, and then that will be a team that will forever be remembered. That'll be a team that comes every 10 years and eat for free everywhere they go. I want to do that. I want to do that. The job is not done. We got to continue to climb. We got to continue to play the game the right way, respect our opponents, and go out there and give everything we have.
He just whispers, I want to win it all. I want to win the whole thing. And then I want free meals every 10 years.
I was going to say, that's what I guard. I want free meals every 10 years.
He's so right, though.
Of course he is. I mean, he's almost there already, but just because he's so legendary.
Yeah.
Already?
Yeah.
But yeah, if they win it all, you just never get forgotten.
Never. Not in this town. No. And I think that him saying that after a win like this is a reminder, as cool as last night was, it ain't even close to being finished.
No.
The Mets aren't even halfway there. They may be halfway there in terms of rounds. They're not halfway there in terms of wins. They won 5. They need to get 8 more. And that's why we're here. And there comes a point, Sean alluded to this earlier. He said, at some point, expectations change.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be perfectly honest with you. They got to win the World Series. I've seen them in the World Series before. Cool. I've seen them in the LCS before. Cool. What I've never seen is them win a championship. Now, here's the difference. If they don't win the World Series, what happens? What are you going to do? I'll be very disappointed. I think all of us will. No one's getting fired. You know, we're not going to be talking about firing David Stearns or firing Carlos Mendoza. No one's suggesting that. But it will be a missed opportunity. That's what's on the line here. So if you ask Sean, because you referred to this much earlier, you know, the Yankees have to win. If they don't win, the discussions on Sport Talk Radio is, should you bring the manager back?
Yep.
Should you fire the GM? No one's saying that's going to be the conversation with the Mets. So here's what happens if the Mets don't win. Because I always get, well, what are you going to do besides rip and cry and bitch about it on a Rico Bronya or on the air with Tiki? It will be a missed opportunity. And you better take advantage of opportunities in front of you. The Philadelphia Phillies in 2022 had an opportunity. They shocked the world. They got to the World Series. And they had a 2-game-to-1 series lead. And they lost. And then they blew the NLCS last year. And now, on Philadelphia Sports Talk Radio, They want to trade everybody. They're pissed.
Well, part of that's because that team's been together for a while.
Well, no, a part of it is, Teak, they missed their opportunity. Well,
that's what I mean. So their window was there, and they kept everybody. I mean, they basically brought everybody back.
Yeah. Right?
Let's run it back one more time. And you fall short
and you know what's
before
funny?
The championship series?
This team's better than the team from 2 years ago. You know what the difference was? They didn't have the magic.
Yep. Well, yeah.
They didn't have the magic.
But they also were average when it mattered. Like, when it matters down the stretch and for the last, I don't know, 2 months of a season, if you're 500, you're not one of the best teams.
Well, guess what? In 2022, they sucked in September, and they still won. They got to the World Series,
well, of course,
so sometimes that changes.
Right, because they were better. They were better when it mattered. And more importantly, I think that year is unique because they got healthy when it mattered.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They weren't a full roster.
That's a part of it. Bryce missed a lot of time. I get
100%. But they got right at the right time. This Mets team, though, is different. It's not like that. It's not like we were waiting for someone to get healthy and become reavailable. It was, they just started building.
No, I agree with that. It's more, because you're right, this team's been good for a while. Here's what it means. The Mets during the offseason, let's say they get knocked out by the Padres or the Dodgers, or they lose in the World Series,
mm-hmm.
which is, again, something that most Met fans have seen before. We've seen them lose in the World Series. That's not special. We saw it 9 years ago. Winning a World Series is special. But let's say they come up short and everyone's like, great year, we'll be back. And they go out and they have the greatest offseason in the world. They sign Corbin Burns. They steal Juan Soto. I don't mean that to be a jerk. I'm just painting a picture for you.
Hypothetically.
And then the Mets win 105 games because they're great.
Mm-hmm.
They may not have the magic next year.
Right.
They may get bounced out in the division series by the red-hot upstart Nationals. Like, you don't know. And so this is an opportunity. This is a moment that you really need to take advantage of, because if you don't, there's a damn good chance you're not going to get another opportunity. You may have some great teams,
right.
but that doesn't mean you're going to have the magic in October. So does that answer your question, Sean, on what the bar now is?
Yeah, I agree. The Phillies are now a dead corpse. And by the way, look at our spring teams. That's how I feel, Evan, now. I feel like a Phillies fan with the Rangers, and we're probably a spring away from Nick fans starting to feel that way, too. So the Mets probably have, like, a three-year window, but this, you'll look back if you don't get it this one as the missed opportunity.
Absolutely. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.